When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Charlie Ward inbounding on the right sideline. Top of the key extended. Houston pops out up top. Down the lane. Running jumper! Off the front rim! And in! With 8.8 tenths of a second to go! Houston hits the running jump shot! And the Knicks take the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning! And just like that, we're on the other side of May. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Cam. To 2 a.m. I gotta hurry this up. With the Yankees starting at 7:40, I don't have that extra like even half hour. I gotta get to it, man. You guys know what we're talking about. I want to get to the phones. Josh is in Passaic. Josh, you're on The Fan.
Hey, kids, what's up?
Just gotta speed this up, man. And I'll let you guys talk more than me. Go for it.
So first off, congrats on the job Friday night. And I got a question on that, Keith. What are you doing about the Knicks game?
I'm not for nothing. I'm not a Knicks fan. I'm be locked in.
Are you gonna check in on the game at all?
Don't even plan on being on my phone. It's a job, and I've listened to hundreds of Yankees games. Like, I'm not nervous, but I don't want to mess up all the little things. Like that first pitch fastball was brought to you by. The first walk of the game was brought. Like, I have to be able to read all those things. I have to be. You know what I'm saying? So like the Knicks have nothing to do with the job that I'm being tasked with on Friday. And if I miss the game six, I'm not a Knicks fan. It will not change my day. I'm getting the call, the New York Yankees game. That is everything.
Right, and also you're probably able to see the end of the Knicks game. So first,
I don't care about it, bro. Like, it didn't cross my mind till you said it, that there's going to be a conflict that I'll be on.
It's an 8:30 Knicks game, probably over at like 11.
Not get out of Yankee Stadium until who knows what time, and whatever happens with the Knicks happens. And like I said, I'm not a Knicks fan, so I don't feel like I'm missing anything. I'll watch it on ESPN SportsCenter.
So then, before I get to the NBA, first with the Mets, so you keep mentioning how they have to get back to their identity and
No, they got to find a new one. They're not the 2022 Mets anymore.
This is the Mets. The Mets' identity is losing since 2016.
I don't know. I'm also not a Mets fan, so I just refuse to believe that. Coming into WFAN and meeting all the Mets fans here, I'm like, you guys really don't believe in the team ever? You always think the other shoe is going to drop. The sky is always falling. Like, I can't get jiggy with that, bro.
You talk about how Gleyber Torres is struggling. He's actually batting better than a few players on the Mets. That's how the whole Mets roster looks like. Gleyber Torres pretty much looks. That's how every single thing looks. And the only reason they weren't doing so bad is because they weren't giving up so many runs. But once they give up a few runs, the game's pretty much over. They can't throw out runners. How many pass balls are there? And McNeil is the most frustrating player of a team I've seen since Dinwiddie with the Nets. The guy, what in the world was going on with that error? They threw past Alonzo. He had time. He wasn't a fast runner. I mean, I guess at that point the game was over. And Dory even had a bobble. And as you mentioned, with his slow start. And it's just a frustrating team. The team can't hit the ball. They don't strike out. They just fly, pop up. And
Stringing together hits. They're not able to, like, get a single, hit a double, hit a sac fly. Like, there's just not enough of passing the baton and being productive.
Not working the counts either. Yesterday versus Noah, and I think it was the seventh inning, Marte gets a single, and then Lindor swings on the first pitch, pops it up, and Marte's hit was also the first pitch. Then Alonso swings on the first pitch, double play. And it's a three-pitch inning with the single. They're not even working the counts, these players. I guess they really don't want to strike out. The Mets actually had the third to least strikeouts. But they're just not hitting the ball. They walk too many batters.
There's a disconnect. In 2022, right, when I watched that Mets team, I felt like those guys, all right, they're talking to each other. If the guy in front of them strikes out, flies out, the next guy coming up, they're saying, hey, he's throwing that fastball inside. Look out for that. Or, you know, he's going to try and fool you with the off-speed. Like, I felt like there was definitely with Lindor and Marte, I don't know, they have to figure something out. I think maybe they changed the lineup. They've been changing the lineup. Like, you've got Alonzo batting second. Like, you got Vientos in there now. JD Martinez in there now. You get Beatty out. You, at least you don't have to watch Joey Wendell right now.
Oh, well, it's great to see Luke Casey tonight, right?
Yeah, that's another thing. They've got way too many starting pitchers already.
And since Stern's little addition going away, and it's just the team. Something feels right. And 2 years ago, it felt like one batter would fix the team, which never ended up getting. It doesn't feel like one batter is going to fix the team. Like, you can't say even if they're competing. There's a limit to what addition you can make. J.D. Martinez, yes, he gets a few hits, but he hasn't made a clear difference, except for breaking up the no-hitter. I think they will need two or three hitters. It's just going to need to be a big offseason. Rotation, I don't know why. I guess they don't want to send Quintana down, but Buto, I guess with the walks, but he hadn't even been so bad, but I guess they wanted to bring up Casey. But then with the NBA, first of all, props to Jokic, Keith, right? Stephen A. was saying how after game two that the Nuggets were gonna get swept and Timberwolves are going all the way. Yeah. And he shows you what the MVP is. Bring this team right back. What do you think about that?
That's what I was talking about last night. I was talking about how quickly everybody was saying Ant-Man is Michael Jordan, how the defending champs were going to get swept, Jamal Murray's throwing heating pads onto the floor, they ain't got it, Timberwolves. And I'm just like, yo, it's a 7-game series. And I was kind of saying that to say to the Knicks fans, you know, I can't say act like you've been there, but act like you've watched a 7-game series before. You can get blown out on Sunday, come right back, and blow them out on Tuesday. The games have nothing to do with each other. And then Jalen Brunson said so much. He's like, each game in a series is different. They don't have anything to do with each other.
And then, Keith, let's see if the Geo curse stays tonight with the Rangers game or not. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good night.
The Geo curse? Thanks for the call, Josh. Alex, you know what the Geo curse is? The Geo, I don't know. I don't listen to Boomer and Geo in the morning. I'm my baby wakes up like 6:35. I might get up to help my wife. All I hear is constant, and then I try and sleep till like 10, 10:30. I usually catch BT and Sal, but depending on how that goes, you know, it might not be how I want to start my day. You know what I'm saying? And then I'll pop out of that. I'll turn on ESPN, SportsCenter, I don't know, MLB Central. And then I'll check on the Twitch chat, see if BT and Sal are talking about anything that I want to hear. And I don't know what the Geo curse is. Not familiar with it. 877-337-6666. Joe in Las Vegas on the Fan. I know you watched the Celtics tonight.
Keith, how you doing?
Fantastic, bro.
No, I wanted to talk tonight about the NBA playoffs. Not necessarily the Eastern Conference, because I feel like at this point it's either going to be the Knicks or the Celtics. But in the Western Conference, everybody's just worried about the one versus the four. And honestly, I think the two versus the three is, you know.
The Nuggets are going to close out the Timberwolves tonight.
Yeah.
The Nuggets.
Yeah, I think I said it.
Like Karl Anthony Towns limping off the court. They're cooked.
Yep. Oh yeah, absolutely. So they lose the first two, they'll win the next four. But the other game, the Mavericks, I mean,
good series.
The Mavericks could come out of the West. They last year, remember, they got Kyrie at the end of the year, so they were.
I know. I'm well aware.
Yeah. No, I know, but
I think that they could beat the young Thunder. But mm-hmm. I don't think that they're lining up with Jokic and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon and KCP.
That could be a fun series, though. It really could. And I mean, I like to watch all the games in the playoffs. Whatever's on, I have on usually.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Right now it's been hard because, you know, I'm a Rangers fan and Knicks and Yankees fan. So, you know, I'm trying to catch as many NBA games as I could, but. Yeah, I really think the Western Conference, they have some, you know, some strong teams. Now, what do you think about the Knicks right now? I mean, like, what's your feeling today? I know last night everybody was on the high. What are you thinking about the Knicks?
I think that they could win this one. I think that, okay, it's a week from game three, where I thought that they could have won game three, but you get the Nembhard prayer that goes in and a couple mistakes late.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have all the momentum. I think that they've made the adjustments. I think that they can go into that building, and if it's close, they can take the Pacers' hearts out of it and their fans' hearts out of it because they're facing elimination. They don't want to go back to New York. They're not looking forward to a Game 7. They're trying to force a Game 7. But if they get into that game and get bullied and punked again and mm-hmm. Brunson is dropping 40 on their head tops, it's over.
And Mike, even I'll add to that, DiVincenzo last Friday night, he was taking the fans' hearts. Like, he was.
If he goes off for another 35, then it's definitely curtains. But
that game was crazy. Keith, when I called in that night, before when that game ended, I was like on a ledge. I'm like, what the hell did I just see? Then I called, then I put you on, and I was all happy. I'm like, oh, Keith, the man. Like, you brought the mood up.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know. I looked at that game, and I'm like, that was their best shot. And they needed a prayer, and it reminded me of, mm-hmm. of the Maxi game where Maxi threw mm-hmm. up a prayer. I'm like, that if that's how you win games, if the first game on your home floor, you're not winning the series, correct?
Yeah, and then Sunday was just I shut that.
Sunday was smart. Sunday was smart. They talked about resting Brunson game 3. No, look at the rest that he got getting blown out, mm-hmm. and how he looked last night, two nights ago. The foot was fine because he didn't play that whole game Sunday.
Luka tonight looks like he got the same prayer doctor that Jalen got.
Yeah, I'm sure they keep in touch still. I'm sure they
yeah, exactly.
They might have been in contact, and Luka's like, hey, what did you do to your foot in the game?
I agree, both of them. These guys heal fast. I really think that
they have the best doctors in the world. They have the best they have everything. They have the right food. They have these chambers to sleep in. They have round-the-clock care to get right because there's that much riding on them being able to perform.
Oh, yeah. LeBron's doctors would have Julius Randle out there right now.
Yeah, the Knicks could use him. Thanks for the call, Joe. I didn't think we were going to talk too much NBA playoffs, but the gentleman sweep has occurred in the fake garden. Jason Tatum almost had a triple-double. He goes for 25-10-9 as, of course, Donovan Mitchell does not play. And Evan Mobley tries to lead the way, but it's not enough. They can't even score 100 points. The Celtics defeat the Cavaliers 113-98, and I think the spread was like 15.5, so that went as projected. And the Mavericks, Luka, Kyrie and them versus the young Thunder, the one seed. I think they're going to win this series just based off of the matchup and, you know, That game that the Mavericks lost where they shot 50% from the free throw line, that's not going to happen again. So you most likely, you're going to see the reigning MVP versus the guy that gets talked about as an MVP candidate every year, Nikola Jokic versus Luka Doncic, cool, in the Western Conference. And we expect to see the New York Knicks defeat the Pacers in 6 or 7 and go on to face the Boston Celtics, New York versus Boston, the fake garden versus Madison Square Garden. Awesome. All right, back to the Yankees talk because everybody wants to talk Yankees as the Yankees are rolling. And you will not hear from me anything about the Yankees and how many times in their franchise history they've done this and what years, you know, that they've won this many games out of this many games and this many series because we did that in 2022. And how did that end up? Gary's in Waterbury. Gary, you're back on the Fan.
McFair the Cavalier. FWB, no relief.
Step on stage. The girls scream like I'm Keith. You won't be around next year. Come on, Gary.
Yeah. And the Yankees can rack up all the regular season wins they want. You know that? And it's going good. But it's all about October.
Right.
Let's bring it back to George M.
I knew I clicked on the right caller. I knew I queued you up. I'm not talking about all of the other years. Oh, well, this is only the 8th time in the franchise history. And all those other 8 times, the Yankees went on to win the World Series. I'm not doing it this year. We did that in 2022.
Right. Foo Philly Cashman sucks. I don't have much past that, but you know, the regular season is not enough for me. I'm not playing that. We can't do that.
It's fun. It's nice. I have a smile on my face, but I just am praying that they stay healthy. Judge is healthy. I'm praying that they keep it up and they get healthier. They get Cole back. They get DJ back. They get Dominguez back. Oswald Peraza is waiting just in case somebody else drops. Keep it going. And You just said Cashman sucks? Hey, the book is still out on Cashman.
We gotta keep it real.
Hey, but what if Cashman delivers us a solid trade deadline, couple arms, maybe another bat? It could happen.
You know that. Yo, smile on my face, behind my back, they talk trash. That's EPMD. Yes.
You love Eric Sermon.
You said smile on my face. Yes. Keith, love you, dog.
Appreciate the call, Gary. Got to let you go as we proceed to give you what you need. 101.9 FM. Yeah, I'm happy with the Yankees, but I have lived a lot of these Yankee seasons. And not for nothing, bro. They're the Yankees. Look at their roster. They have Aaron Judge being Aaron Judge. They have Juan Soto coming back down to just being regular Juan Soto. We can't act like he's not still Juan Soto. Volpe, Verdugo, Rizzo, Giancarlo Stanton, Jose Trevino all of a sudden is back to his all-star form. Oswaldo Cabrera, hold it down. Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, Luis King of the Heel, Clark Schmidt. Bro, like, the fact that these guys are doing this, Nestor Cortez has been solid in his last couple. The fact that these guys are doing this without the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner, great. But no one is surprised because they're the New York Yankees, the 27-time champions. They're supposed to be good. Their payroll, the players, the names, they're supposed to be good, man. They're supposed to bully the Minnesota Twins. That is the script. That is how it's supposed to go. Even I'm thinking, oh, here comes Pablo Lopez. The Yankees wanted him a couple years back. Thought we were going to give up Gleyber Torres for him. Didn't go down. But I'm like, here comes Pablo Lopez. I'm like, the Yankees are due for a clunker, right? They haven't been shut out in a little while. The Yankees are due. No, they have put the shutouts, knock on wood, knock on everything, wood. And they put, it seems like they've put the scoreless innings and the shutouts behind them. And obviously, the main catalyst for that is the captain, number 99, Aaron Judge. So I've been talking about this since last Sunday, two Sundays now ago. Take Judge's numbers from his first career ejection. And I see Talking Yanks just put it out there for me. I'm not a baseball savant Fangraphs guy. Unless I'm doing a Bleacher Report stream and I got to have the numbers for that. I'm not coming in with the numbers. I like to talk about the eye test. I like to talk about the nightly games, this, that, and the other. Especially the numbers sometimes can be boring. But men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Aaron Judge, since his first career ejection, which was that Saturday against the Detroit Tigers, I believe it was May. It was Cinco de Mayo weekend. So it was May 4th. Since then, in those eight games since, he's 10 for 28, batting .357. He's got three doubles, four homers, seven walks. His OPS is 1.393. All rise. That's the guy I was talking about, bro. That's the guy I'm used to seeing. That's one of the most dominant hitters in the league. That's the guy with the AL home run record. That's the highest paid player on the team. That's the guy that won the MVP in 2022, should have won it in 2017, won the Rookie of the Year. That's the guy. And maybe it just took him getting ejected, feeling like, yo, these umps have taken it way too far. And it just clicked with his timing getting right and getting into the flow of the season and having enough at-bats and realizing, oh, yeah, it's real. This counts now. I got to get back to mashing. And if they're going to keep challenging me with fastballs, giving me pitches to hit, I'm Aaron Judge. Hello? Let's go to Morris in Brooklyn on the Fan. Welcome back, my guy.
Thank you so much. How are you, Keith?
I'm good. Had a blast watching the Yankees play tonight. I've been having fun watching the Yankees play all these games.
Yep, it's been a lot of fun. Congratulations to you on getting a chance at the booth. You really deserve it, so I'm happy for you there.
Yeah, it depends who you ask, man. Some people are like, WFAN is on a decline. Keith McPherson, his show is unlistenable. I love that term. I always see that online. His show is unlistenable. There's no unlistenable radio show. Like, that's all we're doing is listening, and I don't think I'm unlistenable. A lot of this is just voice. Right? Sometimes you don't want to hear certain people's voices on the radio. But anyway, thanks, Morris.
So I want to talk about a few of the Yankee players. Number one, Judge, obviously,
being Judge, being the MVP, like you said, and he's definitely back. There's no question, and the money is worth it and all that. So, and Torres, I want to talk about Torres. Torres, I think, is an all-around solid player. I know many people disagree with me. They want him out. They want him out. They want him out. But he is a very solid player. You have to admit that. And I think they should keep him. And I was actually listening to
define solid player. What? Because I've watched Gleyber Torres' entire career as well. I remember when they said this guy was a prodigy. I remember him winning MVP of the Arizona Fall League when he was like 20 years old. I can't say he's a solid player with the mental lapses and the mistakes and with his current batting average and what I've seen of him this year. Now, does he have flashes of being a really good player? Yes. Like, there is some prodigy in him sometimes. Sometimes you see him hit a ball where you're like, bro, this guy's got it. That's what we thought when we saw him as a young kid coming up. But, man, I think he's in his head too much to be considered a solid player. Solid players, you know what you're getting out of 9 times out of 10. With Gleyber Torres, I feel like it's 50-50. 5 times out of 10, I'm going to be like, do you know how many outs there are? Gleyber, give me a better throw to first base. Come on, dude. Hustle. Like, what are you doing? Why are you swinging at that?
With Stanton, Stanton, it is what it is. And he's just going to be a low average hitter probably for the rest of his career. But he's going to give you those missiles like he did the other night.
Oh, yeah. Mash. That's it. That's all I'm looking for. Homers. That's it.
And he's going to be that clutch hitter, that clutch postseason hitter. He's just going to be a clutch hitter, come up in clutch spots, and he's going to do good for you.
Hey, I will take the .243 that he's hitting right now with 9 homers. I have no problems with Stan. That's another guy. People, I'm like, refresh your information. I know somebody's always got to be the whipping boy with the Yankees. There's always got to be somebody that they want to boo, that they want to say, this guy sucks, but it ain't Giancarlo Stan.
And with Clay Holmes, whoever says that the Yankees need to get a new closer, he just didn't look at the numbers. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Clay
That's
Holmes
another
is,
thing.
Has been the best closer right
in
now.
In baseball.
He's unhittable.
Google Clay Holmes' name and click on news. There's an article right now on ESPN from a day ago that says Yankees Clay Holmes, 0.00 ERA, has become MLB's best closer. So I don't care about Josh Hader. I don't care about some of these other guys that were floated out there. Like, we have the guy.
Anyways, that guy's going straight to the All-Star game, no question.
Yeah, he's a month away from being a lock. Not even. He's the rest of this month. So he's 2 weeks away from being a lock for the All-Star game. He's not going to blow it. His numbers aren't going to just balloon up. Knock on wood again.
And Luis Gil has been a gift to the Yankees. He's been real solid.
We knew who he was a few years back. And it is a gift that after Tommy John, this young man has electric stuff like that. And now I'm looking on Yankees Twitter and everybody's just saying, you must keep Luis Gil in the rotation when Gerrit Cole comes back. Okay, you guys got it. We'll see.
Yep. And real quick on the Knicks, I was thinking to myself while I was watching all these playoff games, was there one, just to show you how much the Knicks fight, was there one game that they were leading the whole game? Was there one game? Are you able to check that out for me?
No, I don't think there was a game where they had the lead the whole game.
In this series and in the Philly series.
No, the word on them is, can they get the lead? Can they come up? They're in the first quarter, there was one game, game 6, the closeout game against Philly. They came out and they meant business in the first quarter. But, you know, Knicks fans are like, oh, they're going to blow the lead. And they did, and it ended up being close. It's always close in the fourth quarter, except for the last one.
And, Keith, what do you think about is it going to go back to game 7, or you think they're going to close it out in Indiana?
This is how it's going to, if Brunson is what he was, like, Brunson's game travels. Brunson can do what he did in the Garden, in Wells Fargo Center, in Gainbridge Fieldhouse. If Brunson is getting to his spots, they can't check him, bro. I'm watching, I'm like, they have no answer for him. They have no way to stop him from getting to his spots. Whatever level, like if Brunson is healthy, which he seems to be healthy now, and they get an extra day of rest, and he's getting his spots and he's cooking, and guys like DiVincenzo are knocking down shots, and they're also going to start Miles McBride again. They're spacing the floor with these guys. They can shoot, playing the small ball, And if Tyrese Halliburton is in jail, if he's in handcuffs again, then I think that they can take their hearts. Everything is, your thoughts become things in these series, right? Like right now, the Rangers fans' thoughts are, oh no, they're going back to years ago. They're going back to every year's collapse. They shouldn't, but the Pacers haven't been here. This team is not like that. Their all-star, their point guard, who's supposed to be their superstar, he was invisible last game, not even taking shots. If they can neutralize him again, and then they got to rely on who? Miles Turner or TJ McConnell or one of these role players to save the day? No, the Knicks are grittier. They're tougher. And the Knicks closed out the Sixers in six. I think they very well, if the tone of that game is they're dominating them early and they're taking the fans out of it and taking the Pacers out of it, the Pacers do not want to force a game seven. They don't want to come back to the Garden. They might pack them up in Indiana tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think they got this series. Thank you so much for taking my call, Pete.
Thanks for the call, Morris. Appreciate you, man. And yeah, you know, it's funny. I got to find Eric Bolin. I'll find him on Friday. Eric Bolin put out a tweet that I think got more interaction than WFAN's tweet in regards to me getting an opportunity to be on the Yankees call this Friday and Saturday with Justin Shackle. And shout out to Shaq, man. I've known Shackle now for years. We have a friend in common that I went to high school with, that he went to Fordham with. I was seeing Shaq coming up doing Yankees on Demand in Yankee Stadium when you go into Yankee Stadium and he's on the big video board. And man, I'm just proud of him. And I look forward to being on the call with him because I think we're just going to vibe in a different way. We're the same age. And, you know, I don't know. I won't get ahead of myself because I don't know exactly how it's going to go. But I'll say this. Eric Bolin put out a tweet. And it's just funny, man. I got to find Bolin because I've met him before. I've seen him in the media area a couple times. And it's just funny how when people write certain things, they can be taken certain ways. So what he wrote was, you know, interesting move, right? Like he said, I understand Susan Waldman is going on a vacation. And he wrote, interesting move here, having Yankee super fan Keith McPherson in the booth, something along those lines. I'll find the actual tweet so I don't, you know, say it verbatim. But tagging me as a super fan, getting to be on the Yankees call, makes it seem like I won a sweepstakes, like I won the raffle, like I won a contest, like they picked my name out of a hat. Like, nah, bro. And like, Bolin, I got no issues with. But I think what it is, it's his perspective from being a Yankees beat writer, being in the media area, seeing me how I came up. Like, a lot of people saw me in Yankees Twitter, on my vlogs, on my stadium content, on other podcasts, whether it was working with the Bronx Pinstripes heads or whether it was working with John Boy and those guys. Like, I've been out there more as a fan than like a radio professional. Yeah, I said, understand Susan Waldman is taking a rare series off this weekend. So WFAN is making the interesting choice of having Yankee super fan Keith McPherson work Friday and Saturday with Justin Shackle. I'm not a super fan, though. I'm not. I think that's corny. A super fan? I'm a regular fan like everybody else. He would have been better off putting Bleacher Creature, you know. Shout out to the Kaster. I talked to the Kaster, and Kaster said it first. He said, from the bleachers to the booth. And then I saw a bunch of other people write that. And I'm like, yeah, that's real. That's the reality. I went from pulling up with the cheapest ticket to getting in Yankee Stadium, linking with the gang, 203, La Bodega family, the Creatures, Terror Squad, what up, and just going to games and picking my phone up selfie style when the Yankees hit home runs and score runs and showing people the stadium and the vibes and what we do out there, and then going on a podcast and talking about the series. And luckily, I had my radio television degree in my back pocket. I'm not a super fan. I have an education. I did go to school for this. And now I've been on the radio going on 3 years. So it's not like I fell out of the sky. It's not like I won a sweepstakes. I work for WFAN. And there are people a lot more powerful than me that have made this decision. I promise you, I wasn't asking to do it. I wasn't lobbying for it. I wasn't even praying for it, but God is good, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. I look forward to it on Saturday. If you support me and you rock with me, listen to the call on Friday, Saturday. Who knows? You might enjoy it.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Well, New York, after 54 years, your long wait is over.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here.
Congratulations to the Rangers.
The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Right back at it on The Fan. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, Yankee fan. We're talking about the Yankees, of course. We've talked a little bit about the Knicks, the NBA playoffs, as we know who awaits your New York Knicks. We've known all along. It's the Boston Celtics. And we'll see what happens with the Nuggets, but I think it's a foregone conclusion. They're not going to lose another game. And I think that the Mavericks know that they gave that game away a couple nights ago to the Thunder. Most likely the Final Four in the NBA will be the Dallas Mavericks versus the Denver Nuggets. Small market teams need love too. They deserve a shot. They deserve a chance. And then you'll get New York versus Boston. Ooh, Buck Faustin. You already know. The Garden versus the fake Garden. That's going to be great. Go New York, go New York, go. Knicks got to get it done. And the Yankees have been handling business. They've been getting it done. They've been winning series. I heard Volpe talk about how, you know, each game is like a round and they're going for the knockout blow to sweep, man. You know what I say? Sweep them so I know it's real. Complete the sweep. Go for the throat. Go for the kill before you come home Friday night, Yankees hockey jersey night. And maybe we'll be celebrating a Rangers win. Maybe tonight the Rangers decide to wake up and not lose three in a row, understanding that they won the first three and the Canes have been facing elimination, play your best game and end the series and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. 877-337-6666. We're talking Mets, but I don't know. The one call I took from, young Josh, Mets fan, I'm like, it can't just be this is the Mets that they're supposed to lose and they're not good. And like, no, it's too early in the season. Like the opposite mentality exists with the Yankee fan. There are Yankee fans right now telling you they're winning the World Series. It's a lock. Wait till Garrett Cole gets back. And I don't know. Everyone wants to win. RWTW, roll with the winners. Everybody gets into sports and fandom to win. You know, and if you've been listening to me now 2.5 going on 3 years, you know, when I was a wee little lad, I wanted to jump on the bandwagon and be a front runner. And I said, oh, they scored 50 points in the Super Bowl. I want to be a Jerry Jones fan. Yeah, Jerry Jones has a Netflix series coming out. A 10-part series that I wish they would keep, honestly. Where they're going to show you, you know, just how bad it is with Jerry Jones and the franchise. But as much as I'm down on the football team that I can't get rid of, stay down till you come up. Loyalty is a real thing. You pick a team, stick with them, because one day it's going to come around. Look at the Lions fans. As much as I'm down on the Cowboys, I just watched their schedule release video during the break. And it was clever. It was well done. I laughed. It was funny. Eli Manning made an appearance in it. And at some point tonight, once we get past the 1 o'clock hour, I do want to talk about the G-Men, the Giants schedule, right? Kind of funny how they have Saquon not come to MetLife Stadium until we get way, way deep into the season, hoping that you forgot about it. No, we're not going to forget. Nobody's going to forget about that. And then with the Jets, man, I had a call that dropped off, and it said the topic was Aaron Rodgers' health. And I already see folks talking about how to keep Aaron Rodgers safe through this Jets schedule. Listen, it's football. He has to play. They have a whole new offensive line. They also have offensive weapons. Get the ball out of his hands. Keep that man upright. It's going to be fun, man. Football will be here before we know it. 877-337-6666. Jack in New Jersey. Jack, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Really quickly about the Yankees, the one thing that has impressed me the most has been the starting pitching by far over anything. Garrett Cole comes back mid-June is what it's looking like. We're probably going to make the wild card. I personally think the Orioles win the division. What three starters do you go, let's say it does go three games in the wild card? What are you going 1, 2, 3?
Obviously, Cole gets the ball first. Most of us expect Luis Gil to have an innings limit, so he'll be in the bullpen or out of the equation. You kind of want to lean on experience, right? I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah, I'd probably put Rodon too.
That scares me, man. I mean, he's been good, but I'm not confident enough in him on May 16th to say he's my game two starter. What if you lose? What if you lose the game Cole pitches? You're gonna run Rodon out there. I can't do that.
I think last year was a fluke year. I think this year is what Rodon really is. This is why we gave him the contract. You look at his career. I mean, last year it was nowhere near what his career showed, and I think this year is finally the year where he's settling in. I think I'd be all right with him as my two.
Yeah, I kind of was gonna lean Stroman going off of experience, and I just think Stroman is crafty. I don't think the moment would be too big for him. Nestor has obviously pitched in the postseason, but not that much. And you wouldn't be running Clark Schmidt or Luis Gil out there. I think, honestly, today, if I had to say it, I would go Cole 1, Stroman 2, Rodon 3. But maybe you want to throw Rodon the lefty too.
Okay. And then one more. Ron Marinaccio being sent back down to AAA. How do you feel about that when you got guys like Caleb Ferguson still up and in the bullpen for the Yankees?
He's young. He's got options, and I think that's how they do it. They said Ron was frustrated. Obviously, he played a big role in the team the last couple years, really 2 years ago when he kind of burst on the scene. But it's a matter of who has options and who doesn't. And he had a shaky spring. He's been fine when he's up here, but I think it's just he's young. He's got options. They're going to exhaust some of those options.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call, Jack. Good. See, you Yankee fans are thinking. You guys are thinking ahead. I'm not thinking that far. I'm really not. You know what would be crazy? Maybe we trade for another starter. Ooh. I don't know. I'm getting greedy, man. I'm thinking if I'm Brian Cashman and, you know, callers call Keith McPherson's show at night to say Cashman sucks. And last year I'm looking out from my suite and there's a fire Cashman sign out in the stands. And, you know, I look at Yankee fans online wearing fire Cashman shirts. This trade deadline, I'm standing on business. I'm looking at this trade deadline. If I'm Brian Cashman, I'm going to be like, oh, you're going to love how I stack the deck and add to this team and ensure that we've got more than enough pieces to make a run to the World Series. 877-337-6666. Liam is in Houston on the fan. Hello, Liam.
Hey, Keith. I called to talk about the Knicks, but first, you know, just looking at how far you come and where you're going, and you're getting the shot at the play-by-plays, I mean, to me is amazing, simply because it shows that you can work your butt off and you'll get there. And I think of, you know, we look a lot of our kids look for role models in sports. They look at the athletes, but I think we finally have somebody in you, and I really mean it. I mean, from where, you know, like you said, from humble beginnings, to just, you know, taking photos, doing podcasts, and getting on the fan, and now, hey, you can be the play-by-play, and the voice of the New York Yankees is pretty amazing. So good luck with that.
Thanks, man. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. I'm thankful for the opportunity. Like I say, I'm blessed. I know what it took to get here, and I'm glad you say that, because I always say inspire or retire. You know, I saw some kid, you know, trolling me today, like, oh, if he can have a show on WFAN, it gives me hope that I can break through one day, kind of trying to, like, you know, say, like, I'm not that good. But I saw that, and I didn't respond. I usually respond to people, but I wanted to be like, yeah, duh. Like if I can do it, you can do it too. You probably had it way easier than me. If I could overcome my circumstances and make it to this level, you definitely could if you want it bad enough.
And I think that's a great thing about our country, that, you know, you can have, anybody can have a shot, an opportunity to be whatever they want.
Yeah, you got to put in the work. You got to grind, go to school and make connections. And you know what? Treat people right, man. People don't see that. Like, people don't understand that, like, I'm getting opportunities because of the man that I am, the person that I am, how solid I am. It isn't just what you hear of a radio persona or what you see on Twitter. There's obviously people that have shaken my hand, met me, had meetings with me, have an impression of me where, like, they're putting me in this position.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Knicks. I think the Knicks got to win the next game because, honestly, I think they did a great job in the last game. And Hartenstein really, I don't think he gets enough credit. Like, what was it, like 17 rebounds? Rebounding machine over there.
I was talking about how he was out-rebounding the whole team. He had more offensive rebounds than the entire Pacers roster.
So I think the only thing, based on the games back in Indiana, the only thing that can really stop the Knicks at this point is really the fatigue. And coming off two days rest, I think they'll be ready to go and take the series and get ready for Boston, which in itself, I don't know. I mean, we've learned never to doubt this team, but when you're running a seven-man rotation, it's going to be kind of hard to beat the Celtics. Yeah. But I'm not counting them out.
In theory.
We're just going to open the best.
Yeah, yes, sir. Thanks for the call and the compliments, Liam. I'll say this about the Boston Celtics and this next game. The Celtics, they're frauds. They're going to their third Eastern Conference Finals in a row. How many chips did they win? They get here every year. This is standard for them. But it's also standard for them to fail. So, like, to me, you can't sell me on the Boston Celtics being a lock. Jason Tatum will go missing. Jaylen Brown will go missing. They're one play away from not having their full complement of guys either. And I look at coaching, and coaching matters. Yeah, this Joe Mazzulla cat, he got his opportunity because Ime Udoka, you know what he did. I don't even have to speak on it. So when you actually end up, if it's Joe Mazzulla versus Tom Thibodeau, I'm taking Tom. And if it's these gritty Knick players who I saw go up to TD Garden and smack the Celtics, and the Celtics played like, oh, yeah, well, we already got everything locked up. We're the one seed. We don't got to go all out against you guys. Hey, okay, that could be foreshadowing. I remember somebody called the fan and talked about the year that the Giants beat the Patriots and what happened in that regular season game. And that little, I know it's football and not basketball, but that little matchup gave you an inkling of like, hey, these guys can hang with them. It isn't David versus Goliath. It's more evenly matched than we think. So hold on to all the, like, I there's so many people that crown the Celtics. I can't stand the Celtics. I'm a Nets fan. I got forever beef with them. Way more beef with the Celtics than I do with the Knicks. So hold on that. Now back to the Knicks. You don't want to have a game seven, but in your back pocket, you have the safety net of a game seven. Like, if you can go win it in six, win it in six. So you come back home and you can chill a little bit, right? Win it in six so you don't have to play on Sunday. Win it in six so you can rest a little bit. You are shorthanded. You are banged up. You are about to face a team that had 64 wins in a regular season that, honestly, when you look at the matchup, just to their size, their length, pause, like, they just, it just, when you look at the matchup of Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Derek White, Drew Holiday versus the starters for the Knicks, the advantage in how they can defend, how they, like, it's just obviously the Celtics. But that's on paper. That's on paper, and we'll see. 877-337-6666. End it in six. The Rangers got to end it in six. Charlie's in Brooklyn. Charlie, you're on the fan.
Hey, kid, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for calling.
All right, I just want to make one quick point over here because I'm a diehard Ranger fan, and this season I was historic, and I was amazed by what they pulled together, President's Trophy and all, and I was extremely excited, you know, first round till up 3-0, second round, and I'll be honest with you, Keith, I was never as nervous as I am right now for tomorrow night's game. And the reason why I'm saying that is not because you know, they lost two in a row, whatever. It's just the way they lost is very, 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 you know, nerve-wracking because it wasn't like they just lost the game. Yeah. Bro, they had a 1-0 lead at the end of the second period.
I watched it in here. I watched it in here. I think it was Zoo and I watching. What I'll say is they have to have a short memory, and you got to get that out of your mind too, right? Once that puck drops, the last game doesn't matter. It's only about this game. And they were able to edge them out the first three games, close games. They have to set the tone. They got to come out ready to play. And it doesn't matter what happened in that third period in the Garden a few days ago. It's about this one game. Win one game. Win each period and edge them out. Even if it goes overtime, be the better team in overtime like they were. Find the magic again and don't fall victim to the past, the history. The fans talking about collapsing and what happened with the Devils or the Lightning. Like, that has nothing to do with right now. You're one win away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're two wins away. You can win, come back to New York. Same thing. It's the same thing with the Knicks and the Rangers, of course. I hope both teams win it in six. You don't want to have a game seven where somebody could get hurt, somebody can go off, and it's like that dictates, like that can dictate the entire series, one bad night.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Just the one thing that just gets me so nervous is the way they came out in that third period.
Yeah, but that's over with. That's over.
They just weren't in the mood, bro.
That was so. From what we were gathering, right? I think they were looking at it like, "Hey, we're up 1-0. All we got to do is survive this period, and we're good." That's not a way. You can't play like that. You got to come out on the offensive, not the defensive. And I mean, even the fans. I took a call from a fan who said the Garden was not turned up. That went to the Knicks game and went to the Rangers game. Now, the Knicks fans had a way different energy from, you know, pregame warm-ups through the end of the game. I think there was a lot more nervous energy with the Rangers fans in a tight game, only scoring a shorthanded goal with Jacob Trouba, and then going into that third period, and then the Hurricanes light you up. Get it out of your mind. I know it's hard. That's the lasting image, but it's got nothing to do with this game tonight.
All right, Keith. You know what? You made me a little better. We'll feel a little better right now. So you know what? Let's go, Rangers. We're gonna do this. We got this game. Let's go.
Yes, sir. That's the way you gotta be. Like that's what the Knicks. The Knicks look like they completely forgot what happened on Mother's Day. Mike Breen called it the Mother's Day Massacre. Jalen Brunson didn't care. Dante DiVincenzo didn't care. Isaiah Hartenstein, they did not care. It's a series. It's one game in the series. However you lose the last game doesn't matter. It's all about the next game and the game you're in and playing your best ball, your best hockey in that moment. And as fans, I know we like to harp on it. I mean, I listen to the shows coming off that Monday, coming off that Sunday game. I listen to shows on a Fan Monday, and we were all, even my approach was, hey, well, you know, because I knew I wouldn't be on until after game six. I'm like, hey, well, you know, if the Pacers come over here, like, how would you feel if they do lose the series? But no, you got to get it out of your memory. Short memory. The players can't be thinking about the last one. It's a fresh game. It's a new opportunity. And you have the advantage. The Knicks and the Rangers in game six are not facing elimination. You win the game. That's it. That's done. Game seven is great to have as a security blanket, but you don't want to end up in a game seven. Just anything can happen. It's too unpredictable. We've seen it happen so many times. Win the game you're in, handle business, and be done.